the media in L.A. just might go up in smoke for real. 22 stations and 25 radio stations, so 22 television stations and the radio stations to boot at risk. I'll explain. Al Megrahi, the Lockerbie bomber, gets the pass thanks to an oil deal. Gee, I know you're shocked listening to me say that. And will the real father of Michael Jackson's kids step forward, please? What a sideshow. At least one tabloid says that now Macaulay Culkin is the father of the youngest boy. Does it get any stranger? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. You're gearing up for another week, and then for some people, anyway, you'll get a short week because of the Labor Day weekend, which in some nooks and crannies means the start of school, depending on where you live, because there are districts, I know, where kids have gone back already, but there are a lot of people whose children won't go back to school until after Labor Day. And Labor Day, sadly, to me, always marked, you know, bummer times because we were leaving the beach and we had to go back and wear those uniforms and do the school thing. And it was just like, boom, there's Labor Day. The fun is over. The thrill is gone. In fact, we're going to talk to a teacher coming up in another 10 minutes who says it is possible to survive and, in fact, thrive on a teacher's salary. Shocking, as that is to say. He has a book out about it, and I can't wait to talk to him and get his thoughts on how do you do that. Most teachers in many, many places, east, west, south, in between, aren't making a lot of coin. And in fact, some of them not really a livable wage by most people's standards. So we'll dig deeper there. But the big buzz has to be what happened on Sunday. On Sunday, Dick Cheney let it fly. It was no holds barred, baby. He was on Fox, and he was doing one of those discussions where, of course, the conversation, or a big chunk of the conversation mostly, was about this CIA investigation into the CIA and whether or not there was torture that was used and could anybody be prosecuted as a result, the re-racking of that whole story. So Dick Cheney didn't leave anything on the table, as they say, when he spoke out on Fox. Here's what he had to say about this torture investigation.
I have no idea whether it will or not, but it shouldn't. The fact of the matter is the lawyers in the Justice Department who gave us those opinions had every right to give us the opinions they did. Now you get a new administration. They say, well, we didn't like those opinions. We're going to go investigate those lawyers and perhaps have them disbarred. I just think it's an outrageous precedent to set to have this kind of well, I think intensely partisan, politicized look back at the prior administration. I guess the other thing that offends the hell out of me, frankly, Chris, is we had a track record now of 8 years of defending the nation against any further mass casualty attacks from al-Qaeda. The approach of the Obama administration should be to come to those people who were involved in that policy and say, how did you do it? What were the keys to keeping the country safe over that period of time? Instead, they're out there now threatening to disbar the lawyers who gave us the legal opinions, threatening, contrary to what the president originally said, they're going to go out and investigate the CIA personnel who carried out those investigations. I think it's an outrageous political act that will do great damage long-term to our capacity to be able to have people take on difficult jobs, make difficult decisions without having to worry about what the next administration is going to say.
All right, you know how I feel. I mean, how can they move forward if you keep going backwards? The president himself, as Cheney pointed out, said that very same thing. Who wants to work for the CIA when they're going to throw your ass under the bus? I mean, that's the bottom line. Not too many people, because a lot of them are turning in their resignations. Or Leon Panetta, the director, is fearful because of the morale that more people, if they can find another job, will say, forget it, take this job and do whatever you want with it. Because I don't want to take the chance that when I'm dancing in the gray area, I'm not trying to break the law. But if I'm told I can do something and then you go back on that, well, then why should I do this? Because I am in the business of espionage. I am in the business of finding out information, those at that level, whether it's the interrogators, the lawyers working the language, anybody involved in anything related to Guantanamo, etc., right? So then he was asked, would he cooperate? Would he cooperate during this investigation by the Attorney General Eric Holder and his special prosecutor, rather, if he were asked to elaborate on some of the things that were done during the administration? Here's what he said.
It'll depend on the circumstances and what I think their activities are really involved in. I've been very outspoken in my views on this matter. I've been very forthright publicly in talking about my involvement in these policies. I'm very proud of what we did in terms of defending the nation for the last 8 years successfully. And, it won't take a prosecutor to find out what I think.
Okay. So there's Dick Cheney, raw, as I like to say. Coming up the other side of that, John McCain later this hour, and his response back, because he was also on a Sunday morning show after Cheney had appeared, and he was asked about Cheney saying what he said and if he agreed or not. Here's the bottom line. Cheney is saying, look, there haven't been any problems with terrorism on our soil as a result of what happened. We did get information. This administration is too soft to protect the nation. And it's inevitable that something could happen because he doesn't understand, meaning Barack Obama, the extent to what needs to be done and to be prepared to do what needs to be done to defend the nation. So you know what? We're always drawn about this kind of stuff on America Tonight. Here's the bottom line. Is Cheney trying to pull a little CYA? Covering his own butt and the administration's butt? Does he have a complete point? And of course, people are going to ask him for his opinion because you know he doesn't like what the Obama administration is doing, and he's sort of the great defender of the 8 previous years. I went through a couple of super Democratic and very, very liberal blogs to hear what was being said about Dick Cheney. Some of the things that I read included strip him of his government pension and health insurance, strip him of his war profits, and then give him a choice, guard duty at the Green Zone in Baghdad or cleaning bedpans at Walter Reed. Not a lot of love for Dick Cheney, certainly when I say there's size, because we know there is in politics, right? There's not a lot of love for him, and particularly now about what he's saying. And others have said, and I've got this from kind of middle-of-the-road people, that they are sick and tired of people, including the vice president, sticking up for things that were done that were wrong, that we were betrayed by our nation, and we should not enable those who have surpassed the atrocities that were heaped upon us. We shouldn't do that. And it seems like Cheney never has anything better to do than to be the great defender. Do you agree? Keep this in mind and keep these digits handy. 800-259-5791. The Teach is up next, though, on ATN.
ECigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you, and will save you right around 50% over smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting ecigarettesnational.com. That's the letter E, cigarettesnational.com. ecigarettesnational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times there are these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. And using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
I've often wondered this. In fact, I have a couple of friends who are teachers, one at a college, and they're not a professor, they're a teacher. And then I have another friend who is an elementary school teacher. I wonder how you actually really survive in these times on the kind of money that teachers make. What a perfect title for a book, huh? How to Survive on a Teacher's Salary. Danny Kofke, who is a teacher, joins us now on America Tonight to talk about how you can not only do that, but thrive as well. Hey, Danny, how are you?
Hi, Kate. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Good, thank you. Are you now? You teach in Georgia. Are you back in school yet, or is that coming up?
Oh, no, we're back. We started, it was August 6th, so no longer is August some part of your summer, but that's okay.
And how long have you been a teacher?
This is my 10th year.
Wow. And do you absolutely love it?
Yes, I do. I mean, that is part of the reason why I am in the profession. You know, the money, you know, like you were saying earlier, I mean, you know, most people agree that teachers are underpaid and we, you know, pretty much make a moderate income. It's not a lot of money, but in times like this, especially right now, you know, I really can't complain because I do get to go to a job that I love. And the pay, you know, it could be better, of course, but there are plenty of jobs out there right now that are paying a lot worse and, you know, people that are a lot worse off. So no complaints on my part.
You know, and you have a wife who was a teacher, but now she's a stay-at-home mom and you have two young daughters. And a lot of people would say, wow, Danny, how can you do that? I mean, you own a house, you have these two kids, your wife's not working. How could you possibly stretch your dollars that far? So that's the big question. What's the secret?
You know, it really, you know, it's not that huge of big of a secret, but in our country, you know, we've tend to gotten away, which we're starting to come back to now with the, you know, the economic mess that we're in. It's just, you know, when Tracy, she was a school teacher before becoming a stay-at-home mom, and, you know, over the first 4 years of our marriage, before we did have children, she worked, and we had that long-term goal and a long-term vision that, you know what, one day we were hoping that she would be able to stay at home, you know, when we had children, or, you know, at that point it was just one child, and, you know, we eventually had another one. But, you know, we had a goal in mind, and that is what we were working towards. Obviously, right now, if we had a lot of debt, huge mortgage payments, car payments, whatever, I wouldn't be able to be a teacher and she would, and have her stay at home at the same time. I mean, I'd have to have a different type of job or she'd have to work. But over those first 4 years of our marriage, you know, we worked towards where we're at right now. And, you know, that was huge for us to have that long-term goal. And any type of things, you know, when she was working, you know, a lot of our friends had got to dinner a lot. And you know, times were good. At this point, it was, you know, year 2000, 2001. The country was doing pretty well. You know, people were spending money like there was kind of no tomorrow. But we had that vision. So any of the financial things that we did, we had in mind our goal down the road, and that was a huge, huge key for us. And for a lot of people, you know, we're in a country, a lot of people they'll see something, they want it, they buy it, and they don't even really think about the repercussions of what it's going to mean down the road. Whereas since we had that vision and that plan, you know, we were able to say, okay, you know, for 3 years, for instance, we had one car. We were paying off the car that we did have. So there were times I rode my bike to work, I had a hitch a ride, whatever. In the town we lived in at that time, you know, that was kind of unheard of. I was pretty much the only person that ever rode my bike to work there. But, you know, it didn't, I had, right now we're living the dream that I wanted back then. So having a goal and working towards it is what definitely helped us.
But you also, wasn't there a point where you were going to take, or you did take a job as a flooring salesman, right? And then you said, ugh, I don't even want to do this, even though I can make all this money.
Yeah, that's what, you know, was. I'm very fortunate that I got to, you know, see the other side. A lot of people, you know, you're in a job right now and you don't, you know, you do like it, but, you know, sometimes we lose track of why we do stuff. And then you kind of just think, oh, I don't feel like getting up and going to work. I'm dreading it. Well, I was fortunate that I got to leave the profession. And it was a hard decision. I mean, I loved teaching at that time. But I was offered a job, and, you know, the potential was to double or triple my salary. And I thought, you know what, I have to take this opportunity. You know, it could put my family in a much better position and, you know, enable Tracy to stay at home indefinitely. So, it was a joint decision, and Tracy agreed and said, go ahead and try it. But after about 4 months, I just, you know, the passion wasn't there. And, you know, Tracy could see the spark was out of me, and I didn't enjoy selling flooring. I mean, for some people, it's great, and they make a lot of money, and they enjoy it, and they're passionate about it, but it wasn't my passion. And, you know, at that point, I was teaching first graders, and in first grade, that's the year we usually learn how to read, write. I mean, huge growth takes place. So I went from doing that to selling area rugs that cost $5,000. And, you know, it just, I wasn't a very good salesperson, let's just say that, because I really didn't care if someone came in and bought a fancy area rug, because to me it wasn't that important, especially on coming on the heels of doing something like teaching a child how to read. So, you know, one day Tracy actually sat me down. She's like, you know what, I see you've lost, you just don't have that look anymore. And, you know, I told her, I said, I'm going to do this for the family. And I told, you know, the boss I would stick with it. But, you know, we pretty much came to the conclusion that even if I made $1 million a year, if I wasn't as happy as I was, you know, making 40 grand a year in the classroom. So shortly after that, I was lucky enough, and my boss, you know, was kind enough to let me go, and I got right back into the classroom. So, you know, it was definitely an eye-opening experience for me, and, you know, I appreciate, you know, with any job, you know, no job's perfect for most people. I mean, there are things that you are going to find in your work. And, you know, even though I love going to my job every day, there are times during the day that it's not, you know, the greatest of times that I'm having. But by being out of the situation for a while, I was able, you know, to see why I chose the teaching career. And then, you know, now I kind of overlooked some days that might not, you know, be as fun as, you know, I want them to be. And just know that, you know what, this is what I'm passionate about, and that's why I'm doing it.
And so your book tells people those kind of things, how to get the nest egg, how to own the possessions instead of amassing a bunch of stuff where you owe money on it, how to invest in Roth IRAs, which that's what I do. That's what I think a lot of people should do, and that would be huge, of course, obviously because of the write-offs too. And then you talk about one thing that I think a lot of people don't do, Danny, and you might see this with people around you, even teachers. They don't have a budget. They don't have a weekly budget, so they're just kind of spending money all over the board. They don't even know what they're outlaying.
Yeah, that is huge. And, you know, obviously, you know, if you buy a fancy house, you buy a car you can't afford, that's going to get you into financial difficulties. But I think the number one reason for the average person that we're in trouble as a country right now is because of, you know, they do not know where their money is going. And for a lot of people, it's those everyday purchases that just add up over time. The latte factor, you know, people have heard of that, buying coffee out every single day, eating lunch out every single day instead of brown bagging it. I mean, buying snacks and sodas from the vending machine, and instead of going to your local grocery store, you can buy the same thing in bulk and bring it to work with you, and you're going to save money. So, you know, it's not, you know, huge purchases, but over time they add up. Let's just say during the work week, you eat lunch out every single day at $5 a pop, and that's probably too low of an amount, but, you know, just go with that. So $5 a pop during the work week every day, that's $25 a week, $100 a month, $1,200 a year. Now, in a moderate income, that $1,200 a year can go a long way. So, you know, people just, you know, you don't realize you're spending it because it's such a small amount at the time. I mean, you can spend $5 here, $10 there, and you really don't think twice about it. But, you know, what helped Tracy and myself is when we first got married, for 1 month we walked around with a piece of paper and a pencil, and we wrote down every single thing that we bought and any money that we spent. And then at the end of the month, we were able to sit down, and, you know, the paper didn't lie to us. And, you know, some people like using an elaborate spreadsheet, using the computer, and if whatever works, works. But for us, here was something we didn't have to worry about, a computer not working, you know, down software not being able to operate. Here it was on a piece of paper in front of us in black and white. And, you know, we were able to analyze how we were spending our money. We'd say, you know, gosh, I can't believe we ate dinner out, say, six times this month. Well, we can cut that back to four times. We went to the movies, you know, five times this month. We don't need to do it that many times. So, you know, things like that we were able to discover about ourselves and our spending habits and then create a budget, a spending plan, you know, whatever you want to call it. And then what we did at that point, we realized how much we needed on a weekly basis for food, transportation, some entertainment, you know, those basic necessities. And then every Friday we would go to the ATM and pull out that exact amount in cash. Now, this was the money that needed to get us through the week. So let's just say that got to be the next Wednesday, and we didn't have any money left. Well, we're not going out to dinner. We're going to be eating leftovers, eating cereal, whatever. We're going to have to wait until Friday in order to pay ourselves again to be able to do those things. So it just it helped us so much get, you know, and gain control of our spending habits and our finances.
Right. Makes sense to me. Hey, we're out of time. Good luck, Teach. That's great. Pick up the book, How to Survive and Perhaps Thrive on a Teacher's Salary. Danny Kofke, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
We'll meet you
on the flip side. We'll meet you on the flip side talking about John McCain's reaction.
Did you know that there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button, and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put a stop to identity theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. Here you will find radio-blocking secure sleeves. Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. That's IDStronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770 today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Hi, Ed Schultz here. I want to tell you about BioGreenClean.com. BioGreenClean. It is absolutely the first heavy-duty, all-natural, multi-purpose cleaner that outperforms all competitive cleaners. BioGreenClean is the product. It's tough enough to take on virtually any cleaning challenge, yet gentle enough for your baby's toys. That's right. BioGreenClean is plant-derived and contains no harmful chemicals, solvents, and no annoying fragrances. If you want spectacular and unprecedented results from a revolutionary cleaning product, look no further. BioGreenClean is the cleaning product that you've been waiting for. It's that simple. It's super, and it's easy to order. Just go to www.biogreenclean.com. That's www.biogreenclean.com. BioGreenClean.com. BioGreenClean. BioGreenClean.com. Try it today. You'll be glad you did. BioGreen Clean. It cleans anything.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Wow. All I can say is wow. Times are changing fast. Scary needles. Laws changing until pretty soon. It'll be against the law to grow a tomato plant. How does this fit into healthcare? I'm not sure. But I am sure that Life Change Tea will give attention to your health. Good health. Join the many that have made the change just by drinking our all-natural tea. Lose weight. Detoxify and get energy. Call now at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. It doesn't come any easier. Getthetea.com. Oh, yeah, and right now is our semi-annual special underway. It won't last long, so order now while you still can. Order at getthetea.com.
If you turn on the tube, you probably saw something about Ted Kennedy. It was wall-to-wall coverage, people mourning with the Kennedy family as it was a big goodbye to Senator Ted Kennedy, who was involved with 300 pieces of legislation. Now, you know how I feel. I threw this out last week. You talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to Ted Kennedy. There's no doubt, though, that he had been there forever. And when it comes to Massachusetts, he was the guy. I mean, he was the guy elected over and 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 over again. So suddenly now it's a question of what's going to happen there. Are they going to hold this special election? They're going to throw someone in there in the interim? Is that what the governor's going to do? It looks like that could be a possibility. And there are some side notes to the whole Kennedy deal, because now the push is on to make healthcare about Ted Kennedy, that this is his last dying wish. Even I went and looked through some of the eulogies, and it was said by everybody. Like, the grandkids got up, and one of the grandkids said something about it. Certainly his son got up, and there was something said about it, and on and on and on. So I think now that he has been buried, and he's at Arlington Cemetery, and once Congress gets back in session, you're going to find that there's a real push to make this a Kennedy thing, that he wanted the people to have coverage. This is the push, and that's going to be the big push from the Pelosi's, the Harry Reid, certainly. I think the president will say that as well, and a slew of others who are for healthcare reform with some sort of a public option that will turn it into the last will and testament of Ted Kennedy. But we're going to let you hear what some of the people had to say, including Barack Obama, at Senator Ted Kennedy's funeral. In the meantime, Dick Cheney had no problems expressing how he feels about this latest stuff with the CIA. In other words, the investigation into what was done specifically, really, with what they called high-level detainees, Khalid, Sheikh Mohammed, etc. We know about the whole waterboarding thing and all that other sort of stuff. And now this this is going to all be, more things will be revealed and more people will get grilled and who knows where it leads. If it leads to anything criminal, that would be ridiculous to me, since there were legal things put down on paper. If you want to argue about, well, this wasn't right and this is a misinterpretation or this was this or this was that, if it's a verbal spanking and if this investigation leads to that, that's one thing. If it goes through the tunnel and it leads to somebody going to jail, I think you're going to really see an incredible, massive, mass exodus from the CIA. And if not an exodus, you're going to have people who are not going to want the gig of interrogating the terror suspects. Do you want that job? Okay, we want you to get the information. That's your job. You get that information. But you can't do this. Just politely ask. We'll do bad cop, good cop. But don't do anything. Don't change the temperature in the room. Don't put on loud music. Don't do anything that could be any possible violation of the Army manual, because now that's the way it's, that's what's going to be the source. Now, the question becomes, and I said this before, did the techniques work? That's the thing. So you have some people in the CIA saying, yeah, it does work. I mean, how do you think some of that information was gathered? It did work. Some of the things that were done did work. Then you have others saying, no, torture of any kind of loosely saying it torture does not work. You cannot get information. It's a known fact from people, from would-be terrorists or suspected terrorists or whoever. If that's what you're doing, you're not going to get correct information. So we never really got a clear answer on that, I think. John McCain had his own take. He was on Bob Schieffer's show on CBS, and Schieffer, of course, asked him about what Dick Cheney had to say. That, you know, hey, Dick Cheney says this is out an outrageous political act, and it's a direct slap at the CIA, and this is intensely bipartisan. How do you react to that, John McCain? And here's what he said.
President was right when he said we ought to go forward and not back. I worry about the morale and effectiveness of the CIA. I worry about this thing getting out of control and us harming our ability to carry on the struggle that we're in with radical Islamic extremism. So, look, I was radically opposed to it. I think it harmed us. I think torturing harmed us. I had a number of anecdotes that could substantiate that, and I think it harmed our image in the world. But for us now to go back, I think would be a serious mistake. The Attorney General has a unique position in the cabinet. Obviously, he can't be told what to do by the President of the United States. But I think it's a mistake. I think in the future we'll find out it's a mistake. And at the same time, we can assure the American people that it will never happen again. And people in this, in the world that that has harmed our image. I think the interrogations were in violation of the Geneva Conventions and the Convention Against Torture that we ratified under President Reagan. I think that these interrogations, once publicized, helped al-Qaeda recruit. I got that from an al-Qaeda operative in a prison camp in Iraq who told me that. I think that the ability of us to work with our allies was harmed. And I believe that information, according to the FBI and others, could have been gained through other methods.
All right, so, you know, even more specifically than that, it comes down to the bottom line. As he was saying there, Senator McCain, that there were other ways to get the information, and he also contends and says he had a source telling him that because of what was released, the information, it actually helped as a recruiting tool for al-Qaeda. So here's the other side of this. John McCain, a guy who was held captive, a guy who was prisoner of war in the whole torture thing. People a lot of times go to his wealth of knowledge as to what he thinks. And this is what he said specifically on whether or not it works.
I think think the interrogations were in violation of the Geneva Conventions and the Convention Against Torture that we ratified under President Reagan. I think that these interrogations, once publicized, helped al-Qaeda recruit. I got that from an al-Qaeda operative in a prison camp in Iraq who told me that. I think that the ability of us to work with our allies was harmed, and I believe that information, according to the FBI and others, could have been gained through other methods.
All right, so you heard that. So again, that was the tail end of that. I wanted you to rehear that so you know specifically what he said, that he's saying that other, Senator McCain saying that there were other ways to get that information. Tomas is listening to us in Michigan. Hello, Tomas.
Yes, I am listening to you in Michigan, and other people are listening to you in Michigan too, so you better watch out. I have actually told my liberal neighbors next door to listen to you and call in.
Uh-huh.
So let's see what happens. I read a book about the guy who was in charge of and who was credited with finding Saddam Hussein.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that in his book that he didn't use any torture. But what he did use was he would threaten people that if they didn't tell him where the next guy in the chain was, well, he would let it be known that he was being interrogated. And guess what happens? If the al-Qaeda people know that you're being interrogated, that means they cross you off. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't get to you, they'll start killing your family. So this would drive the people crazy. They'd be beating on their heads against the wall and whatever. And of course, you know, you got these liberals out here that are going to say, oh, that's terrible. That's torture. You're causing him mental abuse, mental suffering. And we have to remember one thing, okay? And I'm a former Marine. You know, you go in there and you don't become a prisoner always because you give up or you surrender. You can become a prisoner if you're knocked out and by a concussion, a unit is overrun, and then they capture you. But guess what? When they capture you, they could kill you, okay? And the option is to capture you, see? So you could either be dead or you could be captured, all right?
Right.
Now, you're going to be tortured or you can be dead. So, you know, it's not like... you know, we're pulling people off the street and make them go to war. And we just have to understand that this is part of the terrible game of war. Now, the United States has never been the best at torturing people. We have never taken pride in torturing people. But our people have always been tortured anyway. Right?
Right.
You know, the Japanese, they would just you know, rip our people to shreds. Vietnamese, the Koreans. You know, and we would always try and, you know, follow the Geneva rules. And, you know, when we had military superiority and we were winning, well, then we could say, yeah, okay, well, but the world is getting smaller every day. And the clock is not on our side because technology is always going to spread. Sooner or later, everybody's going to have nuclear weapons. So we need to get the crazy people out of the way. I'm all for Dick Cheney saying what he needs to do and giving hell to Barack Obama because, you know, Barack Obama needs to hear it from both sides clearly and in stereo.
Yeah, I agree with you. I love the way you said that, and in stereo. Tomas, thank you. Absolutely. When he has said it offends the hell out of me, I mean, he's laying it out there. That's exactly as the VP and what he thought and what he saw thought happened. He thought that should have been done. More on that, plus I'm going to fill in the blanks with some of the headlines. We told you about that fire in Los Angeles and a couple of other things as well. Stay with us.
Would you give someone $100 for a $10 bill? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in a pill form, that's exactly what you're doing. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk Reference, many vitamins and minerals in a pill form are 10% absorbed. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out for every $100 you spend on these pills, you're flushing $90 down the toilet. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting, chewable, containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. antioxidants. You know, you work hard for your money. Isn't it time to start getting what you pay for? Order today. 1-800-210-1922. With Choose for Health, your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. The first 300 callers are going to receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQ. AirAndAqua.com or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play the moon. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me.
Little Diana Krall. Hey, we're going to fill in the blanks on that L.A. fire pretty bad. I just talked to one of my friends earlier in the night, and because of the dry conditions and how hot, it's been like in 105 is what they're describing it in some of the areas there. I'll dive into that in a second for you, and a couple of other things that I mentioned at the top as well. But to re-rack, Dick Cheney blows a gasket, and there's a lot of conversation, of course, over the fact that the Attorney General earlier last week, Eric Holder, decided to move forward with an investigation into what the CIA was doing in those interrogations with the high-level detainees. So he appointed a special prosecutor, and there's people that are totally giddy about this and people that are totally furious about this and some that are just, you know, a little bit undecided. Dick Cheney is not one of those people. He is not happy at all, and he may be somebody that they call to have conversations about what went down and what he knew, and I wouldn't be surprised by that. And he said he's not sure whether or not he'll cooperate, so how about that? Let's go out to Travis listening to us in Minnesota. Hey, Travis, how are you?
How are you doing? Thank you for giving me the time to speak tonight.
Sure, what's your mind?
Well, I wanted to give you some information that I've come across over the years of research in here, and it's on the AIDS virus, and I know you've had a little bit of, you've done a little bit of work in that field.
Uh-huh.
And if you got a pen and paper, I'd like to give you some information for you to go check out yourself. These are patents from the U.S. Patent Office and on the AIDS virus, the manufacturing and replication of it, as well as the cure. So, are you ready?
Okay, so what you're saying that there's already a cure that's been patented that's buried somewhere?
Yeah. And I can show you the website that the government has released already that you can go to and look at these patents and the information on them.
All right, so what's the website? So we'll check this out because, you know, as long as this is conspiracy theory stuff, Travis, we're not going down that highway. But
you can call it what you like, but I can give you the information anyway.
All right, go just throw it out real quick. You got a couple of seconds to do it.
Go to www.uspto.gov, and the patent numbers you'll need to look up are for the cure is 5676977. And for the manufacturing of AIDS is 4647773. And when you get to the site, look up patents by number, and you'll be able to find them soon.
Yeah, you know what? I've looked at patents. I'll see what's up with that. Travis, we've got to let you slide. Have a good one. Moving along, I'm going to fill you in on the semi-distracted here. I'm going to fill you in on that fire. Somebody just hit me up about what was happening with Los Angeles fire. Just got a quick email on it because they heard me mention it. What the deal is now is you had like 10,000 homes on Sunday earlier in the day, and then later they were worried they're evacuating. You know, they throw out these evacuation orders. But here's what the deal is. A lot of times it's just like the whole thing with the hurricanes. And some of you know you live in hurricane areas where you get totally burned out on hearing this hurricane is going to slam into North Carolina, is going to slam into wherever, and you have to get out of the city because you don't want to be left behind, and it's disastrous, and the winds are X, Y, Z. And then it doesn't happen. It trickles out. Something changes with the weather, et cetera. Well, it's the same way in California sometimes with the fires where people think, oh, I'm not leaving. If I have to stand here with the hose, I'm not going to do this. I don't care that they're trying to tell us to evacuate. So people will stay. So then you trot the governor out in front of the microphones. This happens a ton in California, but I'm sure it could happen other places too. And Schwarzenegger will say over and over again, it's out of control. It's very dangerous. I mean, we're talking about this fire has doubled in size overnight. Look at, we're like a giant tinderbox. 35,000 acres have burned. You got bone dry brush, baby, in the mountains. And you're talking about a lot of homes in the mountains. And then there's always, if it jumps over into the other side and gets closer to the water, like let's say Malibu, et cetera, I mean, then you're done because then everything's on fire on both sides of, I'll call it the 101. So what happened is in some of these canyons, like I said, you're seeing that because of the dryness in the air, you're seeing them go up like tinder boxes. I mean, I wish I had a better way to describe it. I feel like I'm constantly using that same description. That's the best way to think about it, at how quickly it jumps. And the thing is there was a sign, I happened to see this, you know, the big famous Hollywood sign, you could see smoke billowing all over it. It was very eerie to look at that. So in the one area that we're talking about, and this where you've got broadcast towers, you've got this place called Mount Wilson, and you've got a lot of transmission towers for TV and radio broadcasts, and even emergency services are there. So you have planes dumping tons of water. If that went up, that would kill all the television and the radio stations, kill them. Because, of course, that's how they're broadcasting. You know what everybody would have to do? Go to the Internet. Suddenly, the guy doing the Internet radio show is somebody they could listen to. I mean, in all seriousness, it was pretty bad. I mean, they're talking about these dense, smoke-filled areas over the skies and the foothills and all throughout that Los Angeles basin. And it's only like 5% contained. So not a good thing in California. This is on the heels of, remember, it was just last week. I think it's like every time I'm on the air to start off the week, Los Angeles or some part of California is on fire. Because we were talking about two fires, one in Northern California and one in Southern California. So here we go again with this inferno that might take out all the media towers in L.A. and, more importantly, all those homes as well. All right, here's one, speaking of conspiracy theories. You wonder if this is one that's being dreamed up or just an ugly rumor or just juicy gossip or what. How much faith do you put in the tabloids? Well, sometimes the tabloid information is true. As we know with John Edwards, the information that came out about John Edwards and the woman that he was fooling around with, and then the child, and et cetera, all that stuff that blew up the whole John Edwards, I'm running for president thing, turned out to be true. And that was the National Enquirer. Well, now another tabloid called The Star, they're saying that they have proof that Macaulay Culkin is the father of the youngest son that they call Blanket, that it was his sperm that fathered this kid. You know, remember, I think of Macaulay Culkin, I know he's older now, 29, just celebrated a birthday last week. We mentioned him in our birthday section. But forever, he is etched in my mind as Home Alone guy, right, as the kid. And I think of, how does that happen? I mean, I think of the friendship they apparently had. Remember when Culkin was a kid? Remember seeing him, pictures of him and all that other sort of stuff, that they had this unique bond. So there are lots of rumors, apparently, that are saying that he is actually the biological father, that it's absolutely him. Macaulay Culkin was one of the few people that went to his 2005, Michael Jackson's 2005, child molestation trial to defend him. So, you know, there are these wicked, wicked rumors, and you wonder if Culkin, who is the godfather to Michael Jackson's two other kids, he's saying he's not going to comment. He says he's not going to comment. He refuses to even go in that direction, because if you remember, Dr. Arnie Klein is supposedly the guy who stockpiled the ingredients to engineer these three perfect kids. He's that doctor that's a skin specialist, but also he's involved with people, fertility experts. Ugh. Like I said, Michael Jackson, forever and ever, we will be buried in all of this muck. And who knows what comes next. There's more attention paid now than there had been leading up to it, other than the concert that he was going to have for those 50 days in London. Just crazy stuff. And speaking of crazy, this isn't crazy, because many of you called, I said it, many of you called and said it. The Lockerbie bomber, why would he be set free? You just have to stretch your imagination and think, why does the Scottish government, really the British government, why do they want to release Al Megrahi and then call it compassionate reasons? They were having trouble with a big oil deal between Libya and BP over multi-million dollars or pounds of oil exploration monies, and it had hit a brick wall. So suddenly one of the pawns on the board, allegedly, was, of course, Al Megrahi, and they're starting to turn over some memos and documents, even though BP is denying it, that say the complete opposite. See, life is like a box of chocolates, as the movie said, Forrest Gump. You never know what you're going to get. Sometimes it's bad. Hey, sometimes it's good, right?
See, we got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time?